Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, earlier in the spring, we started a series that we're going to finish this morning called The Great I Am. Jesus is the Great I Am, using words that echoed all the way back to when God showed up to Abraham in a burning bush, and Moses, and Moses asked, what is your name? Who should I say is sending me? And the voice from the bush said, I am that I am. And Jesus, in claiming to be God and the Son of God, also used that phrase. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And this morning, we'll see from John chapter 15 that Jesus said, I am the true vine. And so let's read from John 15, verses 1 through 12. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch, and it withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Jesus gives us a metaphor in this passage. He also gives us a direct command. The metaphor is that he is the vine and that we are the branches. And the main idea that I want to explore there is the idea of loyalty. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But this metaphor of the vine and the branches, Jesus is going to talk about loyalty. The direct command is, Jesus said, I want you to love as I have loved. And again, the main idea pretty clearly there is love. And so loyalty and love are two thoughts I really want you to get this morning. Would you say those with me? Loyalty and love. Do it one more time. Loyalty and love. Because that's what I want you to leave having really gotten this morning, is this idea of loyalty and love. And I hope to be practical and help you with that a little bit. I want to put Jesus' words in context this morning. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The context coming out of John chapter 14 is what we call the Last Supper. That night that Jesus was betrayed, Passover night, he gathered his disciples and they ate the Passover together in an upper room. It's also the night that Jesus washed their feet, gave a demonstration of how he loved them and how he wanted them to go out and love other people. And then at the end of chapter 14, there in verse 31, Jesus says to them, when they have finished this night, Jesus says, come and let's leave. And so they get up and they leave the room and they begin to walk. And they're headed out of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, is where they're headed, to the Garden of Gethsemane. As they leave the room and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, they pass by the temple. And the temple would have loomed over the entire city of Jerusalem. And the temple was decorated beautifully. And the temple, part of the decoration, part of what had been carved, intricately carved into the edifice of the temple that went all the way around was a vine. And the vine would have been gilded in gold. And so when you looked at the temple, one of the many things that you would have seen that would have caught your attention and your eyes would have been drawn to is this beautiful golden vine that was carved around the building. Another place that you would have seen the vine, according to some, is that there would have been an actual vine crafted out of gold that would have hung over the door of the temple. It would have been enormous, huge, so huge that some say that the fruit that was carved and in gold, draped from this vine, was as tall as a person. And so again, if you were walking past the temple, one of the images that your eye would be drawn to in a couple of different ways is a vine. And Jesus, who is always the master teacher, walks with his disciples on this night and says to them, and I imagine that he looked and he pointed, and he said, "I am the true vine." Now, I'll be honest with you, it has always caught my attention, and I've wondered, why did he say the true vine? I've always wondered, why didn't he just say, "I'm the vine"? I always thought, well, if he's the true vine, what is he comparing himself to? But what he is comparing himself to is not necessarily the vine that is carved in the temple. He's comparing himself to what that vine represented, because all of Israel knew that that vine that decorated the temple, that was draped over the door, was an image of who God said Israel was. Israel, his chosen people, the tribes of Israel, the sons and daughters of Abraham. Yeah, all through the Old Testament, God says about Israel, "You are my vine. You are the vine in my vineyard." And so Jesus, walking by the temple, pointing to the vine on the temple that represents Israel, says to his disciples, "I am the true vine. I'm the true vine." Just as Israel was brought up out of Egypt by God, so Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 2, was brought out of Egypt. His family had gone there when they fled Herod, and God called him back, and they came back to Nazareth. Just as Israel, God's vine, had been led through the waters, Jesus was led through the waters of baptism. Just as Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. Unlike Israel, Jesus came through that time having been obedient to God, loyal to God, overcoming temptation, and he entered into the promised land to begin his ministry. Jesus is the true vine. Here's what God desired of his vine Israel in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in." Just one of the places that Israel is called God's vine. But here's what God said about his vine as he looked at Israel. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. See, Israel did not produce, as the vine of God, Israel did not produce the fruit that God was looking for. Israel did not produce the fruit that pleased God. But Jesus, who is the true vine, completely and perfectly and in every way fulfilled what God was looking for. Jesus, as the true vine, pleased God in every way. Jesus, as the true vine, produced fruit that God was looking for in every way. Jesus, as the true vine, remained and abided in the love of his Father, which he is going to call us to do as his branches. Jesus is the true vine because in every way he did what God expected him to do, what God needed him to do, what God called him to do, what God had called Israel to do, but they could not do it. No person and no nation can be the true vine on their own. The only way is when we're connected to Jesus, when we're the branches that are connected to Jesus. Here's a phrase I want you to hear several times today. Jesus is the only one who was completely pleasing to God. He's the only one who is completely pleasing to God. If you want to be pleasing to God, you must give all your loyalty to Jesus. Because he's the true vine. He produces the fruit God is looking for. God grafts us into that vine. We're the branches. And when we stay loyal and true and remain and abide in Jesus, we can then produce the fruit that pleases God, that God is looking for. And I want to talk about that fruit in two ways. I think Scripture talks about that fruit in two ways. The fruit that God is looking for, the fruit that pleases God. And the first is a fruit in our lives that demonstrates, that produces Christ-like character. As we remain loyal to Jesus, as we remain abiding and remaining in Jesus, we will be fruitful. And one of the fruit that we will produce is Christ-like character. Now, the Bible talks about it in a lot of different ways. One we are most familiar with is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit, who we have because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's not an exhaustive list by any means. There's so much fruit that is produced in our life when we're loyal to Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can do on our own. No person has ever been able to do it on their own. But in Jesus, we can produce fruit that is pleasing to God. Some of the fruit that's pleasing to God is to be like Christ, to be like the one who completely pleased his Father. And part of that fruit is just this character that the Holy Spirit builds in us and produces in us. And as a branch connected to the true vine, Scripture is clear this fruit will be produced. This is the kind of fruit that God produces through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so if you are looking at your life and you're not seeing that kind of fruit, you're not seeing Christ-like character being developed and nurtured and produced in your life, the answer is to check your loyalty. It's not to buckle down and try harder. It's not to, by your own will, do more. That doesn't produce it. Never has been able to. The only way to produce this fruit is to be loyal to Jesus, to be remain in Jesus, to be connected to Jesus, to have the Holy Spirit in your life. We're going to talk a little bit more about how to do that in just a second. But loyalty to Jesus is the key. Okay, that's one fruit, this Christ-like character. Another fruit that's clearly seen in Scripture that Christ himself produced and that God pleases God and he wants to see produced in our life. First was Christ-like character. The second is that we will produce Christ-like disciples. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we do when we remain in Jesus. Just one place we see this. I mean, we could look at all of the Gospels and see this, but one place is in John chapter 4. Jesus is in Samaria. He's met the Samaritan woman. They've had this incredible conversation. She believes that he's the Messiah. She puts her faith in him. She begins to be loyal to him. It starts there and it develops from there, but she goes and she tells everybody in the village who Jesus is, and crowds come. And Jesus, his disciples come up about that moment, and Jesus uses some fruit language. He says, "Wake up and look around," to his disciples. He's pointing to all these people, and he says, "The fields are ready for the harvest. There's fruit to be picked. God has done the work. There's fruit to be picked." And so Jesus produced more disciples. That was part of the fruit that Jesus produced, part of what made him please God. And we need to be producing that kind of fruit. As much as we need to be producing Christ-like character in our own lives, we need to be producing Christ-like disciples who are following along with us. Disciples who are making disciples. And again, if you're not seeing that kind of fruit in your life, I want to ask you to check your loyalty to Jesus. Are you connected? Are you remaining? Are you abiding? Because if you are, the Holy Spirit will help you produce this kind of fruit. That's fruit that pleases God. But again, it only comes because Jesus is the true vine, the one who is able to produce this kind of fruit. Jesus is the only one who is pleasing to God. And if you want to be pleasing to God, give your loyalty to Jesus. See, more and more when I think about faith, I think about loyalty. More and more when I talk about faith, I find myself talking about loyalty. Because faith is not just mental assent. Faith is not just a decision that I make that I believe. That's a part of it, but it's not just that. Faith isn't just an emotional moment. When you feel something and you act on those feelings, that's a part of it, but that is not the biblical idea of faith. The biblical idea of faith really is loyalty. It is allegiance. It is a determination to give my loyalty to the one who said, I am the great I am. The one who is, the one who died for us, the one who was raised for us. We give our loyalty to him. That's what faith is. And it's an active faith. It's an active loyalty. It's one that continues day in and day out. It's one that helps us as we make our decisions. It helps us decide who we're with and what we're doing and how we're spending our time and how we're spending our money and what we're taking into our lives and what we're putting back out. Loyalty is what faith is. It's abiding. It's remaining. And this passage is very, very clear. John chapter 15. That loyalty is most shown in obedience. That's part of the fruit. If I'm loyal to Jesus, if I have put my faith in Jesus, one of the things that is going to happen is I'm going to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus says that's how he showed his love to the Father, is he did everything the Father asked him to do. And he says, that's how you will show your love to me, is you do everything that I'm asking you to do. Obedient faith. Obedient loyalty. Now, here's where I want to hopefully be helpful to you and practical to you, is how do you maintain that kind of faith, that kind of loyalty, that kind of allegiance? And obedience to the King is a huge part of that. And Jesus helps us with that in verse 3. He says that you can maintain that kind of loyalty, that kind of allegiance, that kind of faith, by being pruned by the gardener. And the way he prunes you, according to verse 3, is through the Word of God. See, a lot of versions there say cleansed by the Word. And that word can be translated cleansed. In the context, though, it seems to me that it's better translated with another word that it can be translated at, and that is pruned. Because this is the context of this is a garden. We don't usually cleanse our garden, we prune our garden. That word can be translated both ways. And so we are pruned, how? By the Word of God. And that pruning that Jesus says we need to remain faithful and loyal, to be as fruitful as we can be, we got to be pruned by the Word of God. Because God's words have power in our life. And to be pruned by the Word is more than just reading the Word. Definitely, you need to be reading the Word. But to be pruned by the Word is to be engaged with the Word. To let the Word affect your life. To let the Word impact your life. And James gives us some really good advice on this. James chapter 1. So get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives. That would be a form of pruning. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Faithful obedience. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. God will make you fruitful. But we have to be pruned by the word. What is needed and required is an obedient interaction with God's word. To do what it says to do. To stop doing what it says stop doing. To change what it says to change. To be loyally obedient to Jesus, remaining in him by being pruned by the word of God. That requires a great deal of humility. But Jesus himself modeled that kind of humility. Because you see, vines grow a lot of branches that don't produce fruit. Vines grow a lot of very unneeded branches. Branches that actually cause the rest of the vine to be less fruitful. My tomato plants are a really good example of this. If you've ever grown tomatoes, one of the things you know you have to do is you have to pick off the suckers. They're called suckers because they always grow out of the fork of the plant and they don't produce any fruit. But they get really big and they suck a lot of the nutrients out of the plant. And so my mama and papa taught me to go through the tomato plants and clip off, to prune those suckers. And you folks and me, on any given day and any given week and any given month, are producing a lot of vines that are not fruitful. And they're drawing off a lot of our energy and our attention and our loyalty. And they're not producing fruit. They're just sucking nutrients out of us. And the master gardener will come along and he will prune those. You know what? When they're really small, they're easy to just pluck out. So before that stuff gets too much grown in your life, let God go ahead and do the work he needs to do. And then as you remain in him and you remain in his word, because it's his word that is going to help in that pruning process. That's what he clearly says. It's being engaged in his word. It's doing what his word says. It's obeying what he's taught us. That he will prune us. And he will keep us healthy and fruitful. And he'll be pleased. And he'll be pleased because we are connected to Jesus. And Jesus is the only one who's ever pleased God completely. And if you want to please God, you be loyal to Jesus. And you let him prune your life with the word. Okay, I told you I want to be helpful and practical. I want you to write this down. For some of you, this may be new news. For some of you, it may not. I want you to write it down, a way to be engaged with the word of God so that the word could prune you and you would be fruitful. Producing Christ-like character. Producing other disciples. It's called SOAP. S-O-A-P. It's a great way to engage with the word. To not just read the word, but to engage with the word. And so, right now, I'm doing this through Colossians. And I wish I could tell you I'm good at doing this every day. I'm not good at doing this every day, but I'm good at right now working hard to do this every day. And when I do, it makes a difference in my day. I can promise you that. I can tell you that. When I do this, it makes a difference in my day. It's not just reading. It's engaging. I take a part of the scriptures. It's usually for me just one or two verses, sometimes a paragraph. And you actually write the scripture. That's the S in SOAP. You write the scripture. There's something about writing. And so you write the scripture down. Okay, that's the S, scripture. The O is observations. And so you just start jotting. What are the observations? I mean, everybody will do this different. Some of you are bullet point people and you'll start making bullet points. Some of you are writers and you'll start writing paragraphs. But you just write, what are all the things you observe about that scripture? That's the O, observation. The A is application. Start writing down. You've written the scripture. You've made observations about it. You start writing applications. What is that scripture telling you to do? What is that scripture telling you not to do? What is that scripture telling you to change? Write some applications. That's the A. And then the P is prayer. This is my favorite part. Because I believe when we pray God's words back to Him, that's a prayer He's always going to answer. Because it's His words. And so the P is prayer. You write out a prayer based on the scripture and the observations and the application. And that's SOAP. And that is a great way to so engage with the Word of God that God will use that word to prune you and make you abundantly healthy and fruitful. It's being engaged in the Word of God. That's part of our obedient loyalty to Jesus. And when you are being pruned by God's Word, and when you are remaining in loyalty to King Jesus, two things are going to happen. Verses 9 and 10 back in John 15. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. That's loyalty. And when you obey my commandments, that's love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. That's loyalty. So we're back to those two words, loyalty and love. That's what I want you to get out of this message. I want your loyalty to Jesus to increase. It will show up in fruitful obedience and Christ-like character. And it will show up in fruitful Christ-like disciple-making. Okay, so practically, how are you going to do that? One thing you can start doing is just eat with people. Just start eating with people. If you look through Scripture, you will be amazed at how much of Jesus' ministry, how much of His fruitfulness was on display around a table. So, I don't know if you get together with folks and eat or not, but you need to start doing that. Build that into your calendar. Maybe just once a month to get started. Maybe you can grow from there, but just once a month, go and eat with somebody. Engage with them across the table. That'll be one of the big places you'll be fruitful. You'll be showing your loyalty. You'll be loving other people. So I want you to be around a table with people. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to be in a faith community, and I want you to be in a D group. Because around that table, you're gonna love folks, and you're gonna have that kind of relationship. In your faith community, and our faith communities meet, now not today because of Mother's Day, but usually on Sundays, they meet after we're here for worship. They're divided up by age and place of life. But in that faith community, you're gonna live out this fruitfulness, this loyalty, and you're gonna engage in the Word with other people. There's opportunities in our faith communities to do service projects and to take care of each other and to take care of folks in the church and folks outside the church. There's opportunities just to go have fun and eat together. So I want you to be in a faith community, and I also want you to be in a D group. That's where, see, in that faith community, again, you're going to be loving each other. In that D group, you're going to start loving other people who you want to see become disciples of Jesus and produce that kind of fruit in your life. And the rhythm of those D groups, again, includes all of these things. There's engaging in the Word together. There's eating together. There's having fun together. All the while, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit to make more disciples. Because that's the fruit, Christ-like character and disciple-making that Jesus produced. And that when we're connected to Him, filled with the Holy Spirit, remaining in loyalty and love, will produce as well. So loyalty and love, it all comes back to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who is completely pleasing to God, And for any of you who want to be pleasing to God, you need to be loyal to Jesus. And I want to offer you that opportunity today to do that. The opportunity to take a moment and declare your loyalty to Jesus. That you do believe that He is the great I Am, the Son of the living God, that He is the King, He is the Savior, He is the only one. And that as you're connected to Him, He connects you to God. One of our elders, his wife, are going to be right over here at this prayer room. If there's something stirring in you today that you want to declare a loyalty to Jesus, or if there's any other way that we can pray for you, we want to do that today. Loyalty and love to Jesus, who is the great I Am.